Okay, well, we are back for the second hour of the show. Looked at some Spaceverse in the first hour. How about that? Wonder what you thought about all of them was. Send me off an email. Let me know what you thought. Okay, the second hour, I'm having my very good friend Kathleen Hawkins join us. Kathleen's an author, a public speaker, a whole bunch of stuff. I'll let her tout her own horn. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Hi, David. I'm really looking forward to reminiscing with you about the early days of reverse speech.
Oh, yeah, because you and I go back, 30 years, don't we?
Yeah, at least, yes.
Yeah. So before we get started on that, toot your own horn a little bit. What do you do?
I mean, good. Well, I'm an author, and I've written several books, most recently a novel called The Insiders, which incorporates speech reversals throughout the book. And I also spent many years traveling, teaching seminars, speed reading seminars.
Yes, and
I have a couple master's degrees, one in reading education. I'm a reading specialist, and the other one is in creative writing. So we met, I remember, like you said, it was almost 30 years ago, and I read an article about your work in a newsletter. Do you remember by any chance the name of the newsletter? What was it?
Anchor Point, an NLP magazine.
Yes. And I was interested in NLP, and so I had the newsletter, and I read this article about you. It was kind of a short article, and I thought, wow, that sounds fascinating. And so what I did was I wrote to you in Australia. Now, this was before email, if you can imagine.
Yeah. Way back.
There were actually years we didn't have any email, and so I got out my, it was probably a typewriter. Anyway, I wrote you a letter, and I sent it to you in Australia, and you called me. And from Australia, and you said that you just happened to be moving to Dallas like the next month.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh my goodness, out of all the places on the planet that you could move from Australia, you were moving to about 40 miles from where I live.
Right.
And I thought, this must be a sign or something, you know. And I had, like I said, I thought maybe I'd get an article out of it, but I became so fascinated by your work. And, you know, we visited, and you held classes here in the living room.
Yes, I did. Yeah, they were great classes, too.
Oh, they were. They were really good. And I remember one weekend sitting there in the class, and I was thinking, we are probably the only people on the planet talking about this subject, reverse speech, because it was that new.
Yeah, that's right. We would have been the only people on the planet talking about it. It was so
new. I know. And so over a period of about 3 years, I studied reverse speech, and you had classes here, and then you gave me your notes and research and transcripts, and I pulled everything together and found a publisher. And that's how Reverse Speech, Hidden Messages in Human Communication came to be.
That's exactly right. That's the second book, folks. So if those of you who haven't got it, go to my website and get it. Amazing.
Yes. It's got a beautiful cover, too. It has sound waves, and there are figures in the sound waves. There are shadowy figures in the sound waves.
Yeah, fascinating.
But have you shared about anything about the documentary, David?
We talked about it briefly. No, I haven't gone into a great deal of depth. We are filming a documentary on reverse speech, and Kathleen was filmed in January, I believe.
Yes, yeah, beginning of the year.
And how did that go?
Oh, it went real well. I really liked Jamie and Mike. They were great. I'll share a little bit about it. Jamie asked me to describe you in a few words or a sentence. I thought, a few words, you know, David started, you know, discovered reverse speech and developed the theory and the technology to study it in a few words. And so I wasn't sure what to do, so I made it a really long sentence. I just stretched it out. I said, well, David is highly intelligent and innovative, creative, and really thorough and meticulous with his research. And you have very high standards for your work. And I remembered in the classes, you would only let us document level 4 and 5 reversals, which were the clearest. Remember that?
No, it's still the same. Hasn't changed.
I know, and there were so many times I had a 3. I found the level 3 that I thought was really good, and I so wanted to document it. And you said, nope, only 4 and 5 level reversals. So I really admired that about you, about how thorough you were. And so then they asked me to say something about your passion for your work. And I told them that you're very dedicated, and I have the greatest admiration for you. You know, you discovered reverse speech. You established the theory that the mind has a dual form of communications. Then you developed the technology to study it, and then dedicated your life to exploring it and writing about it and teaching others how to work with it. And, you know, what an adventure it's been.
It's been an adventure. I'm just finishing off my autobiography, folks. So that is a ride and a half, I tell you.
Oh, I bet. I am looking forward to reading that.
Yes. I'm on the last couple of chapters now, but then I got to go through and read it all again and edit it. You know. Mm-hmm. You know how it all goes.
Yeah, oh, I know, it takes a while. I wrote the first draft of The Insiders 24 years ago.
Oh, did you really? Wow.
And that's when, you know, the characters in the story, I'll talk about that later, the characters in the story were studying speech reversals on audio cassette tapes.
Wow.
Nowadays, people hardly know what an audio cassette tape is. That's an ancient technology, I think.
Sadly,
well, the technology changed. So then I, you know, pulled the draft out and I rewrote it, and the technology has changed a couple times in the last 24 years. So I just kept rewriting and reworking it and perfecting it.
All right. So tell us about the novel. What's it all about?
Okay, it's a psychological thriller about a group of teenagers who solve a murder mystery using a mind-reading machine.
Wow.
And when I tell people about it, I say, you know, it's a psychological thriller, and they're going, yep, there's so many of those. And I say about a group of teenagers, and they go, uh-huh, who solve a murder mystery, uh-huh, using a mind-reading machine. And suddenly they go, what? You know, and they perk right up. And they're just fascinated. What is this about? And so that's always the nicest point when I say using a mind reading machine. And then I go on and I say it's a voice analysis technique that's really being used today. It's a real thing. It's being used in investigations. And the teenagers analyze the audio recordings of police and detectives of a couple murder suspects. And through their exploration, they're drawn into the terrifying underworld of a killer's psyche. And then, shortly after that, somebody begins to hunt them, and they start getting picked off one by one. And so, you know, what's going on? What's the mystery? You know, who doesn't want them doing this work? And what I do when I tell people about the story and I tell them about reverse speech, they really want to know more about it. And as you probably know, in the early days there were skeptics, and there are still a few stragglers, skeptics. Yeah. And I thought, you know, I do not want to be in the position of debating this with skeptics. I don't want to be in the position of, you know, defending it and debating it. And so I thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a novel that incorporates real speech reversals that I found. And in doing that, I'm going to do kind of an end run around the skeptics. And instead of, well, I'm inviting everybody to step out of their intellects into their imaginations. And I'm saying, now, you know, maybe you're not sure about this, but if it were true, what would you think about it? What would it be like if you really couldn't tell a lie, or if you could find out what people were thinking? What would it be like? And so this is another way to engage people. And so I'm really happy being able to share reverse speech in this way.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I think a novel's a... I'm going to say a novel's a novel idea, but it is.
It is. You know, it is. And I think it's pretty safe to say that it is the only novel so far that has been written that incorporates reverse speech in it, speech reversals.
Sure it is.
Yeah, I don't know of any other book, you know, that does that.
Not that I'm aware of, no. No, so you're a publisher for it?
Pardon?
How's the book being published?
Oh, it's in print. In fact, it came out, it had its birthday last month, June 11th. It came out in print, and there's also a Kindle version,
okay,
too.
So how can people get it?
They go on Amazon and go to The Insiders and then Hawkins, because there are a number of books with the word insiders in the title. So go to Amazon, The Insiders Hawkins, and you can click on the Look Inside the Book feature. Look Inside the, what is it called? Look Inside feature.
Right.
And they can read the first two or three chapters, you know, for free.
Okay, right.
And then if they want it, then they can buy it through Amazon. They can get either the Kindle or the print.
Right. Okay. I need to get my books up on Amazon. I'm so slack. I've got to get all that done.
Wait, you don't have them on Amazon yet?
No, I don't.
Uh-oh. Well, you're so busy, you know?
I don't have any time to even look into it as to how to do it.
That's another thing I told the producers of the documentary. I said, you were so busy, you really needed a clone or two.
Or two, yeah. Just so much to do.
I know. Well, you're in the beginning, you did it all, everything. And, you know, you were so focused and so dedicated, and I just couldn't imagine, because... Like reverse speech, you can use it in investigations and therapy, and you can use it with celebrities, and just every aspect of humanity, you can use reverse speech. Anytime people are communicating, you know, there's so many ways to use it, and you were developing reverse speech and getting it out there, and you were just wore so many hats.
Yeah, still do, although I've got staff with me now, so that helps.
Good.
What inspired you to write the book, Kathleen?
Well, there is quite a backstory, and I have not shared this with anybody except kind of close friends. It started as a homework project when I was taking your class. One of the other students and I teamed up to work on reversals, and he said he had a couple audio cassette tapes, and he said, look what I got. And he was given interview tapes and interrogation tapes that police and detectives did on suspects, missing person cases. And one was a girl here in town. I think she was a teenager. She went missing, and so this other student got a tape of the police questioning the suspect. And then the other tape, he had a couple tapes of missing persons case in another state. And there was more than one person missing there. And so he would find the reversals, and then he and I would talk about them, and I would transcribe them, and we'd discuss them, and they were absolutely chilling.
Mm.
I have a couple here. I'll just read to you. Suspect number one was being, you know, the police were talking to him, interviewing him. Suspect number one said in reverse, "Rocks will weigh down sack." In other words, the rocks will weight
the sack
down, weigh it down. And his friend, who was also a suspect, said in reverse, "I'm a sender, are dead, rough the scenery." And so I was thinking, okay, his friend said he was a sender. Maybe that means he was trying to communicate that he knew that his friend had killed these people. And then suspect number one later on said, "I douse her." Now, douse means to drench or extinguish. He said, "I douse her. Sin is shallow, ill water, might surrender."
Huh.
This was in reverse, and I was thinking, okay, if he's talking about the water being sick, why would water be sick? Maybe because there was a body in the water.
Right, okay.
And when he said, "I douse her," that could be, "I drenched her." Sin is shallow, so maybe the body was in a river or a stream. Ill water. The water was sick because it had a body in it. And then might surrender. This is all in reverse. And then the detective who was questioning him said in reverse, "Quite naturally, the crime will singe you." Singe being, you know, meaning burn or hurt or whatever. In other words, his crime will hurt him. And then suspect number one later on says in reverse, "We're in the bush. I doubt if men are going to clean it up. We grab you a wood to die in. I drown my sin. I'm done. I killed the woman. I give up."
Wow.
And so, wow. So it's like this other student in your class and I, we were just sitting here, you know, thinking about this, and I was shaken, you know, I was chilling. And then the other student talked to me, this was a few days later, and he said that the FBI had called the police department in the other state where the people were missing, and the FBI told the police to have him stop doing what he was doing. Stop analyzing these tapes.
What?
And
I was
stunned. Why would they, you know, if it would give them a lead or something, why would they not want him involved in it? And then he said, this was the other student I was working with, he said, so I threw out the tapes. I threw the tapes away.
Why would that tell him to stop analyzing the tapes?
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. That's bizarre.
So, you know, I just, that, all this was going into my brain, you know, and I thought, first of all, I thought, why would they stop? Why would they tell him to stop? Second of all, why would he throw the tapes away? I mean, I save everything, just about. Ask anybody who knows me. I save so much stuff. I would have saved tapes like that.
Mm.
And so the tapes were gone, and I don't know if he told them I was involved or not, but I figured if the FBI says stop doing something, I'm going to stop it, you know? I'm going to be intimidated enough to stop. So the tapes had been thrown away, but I had the transcripts. And so I was sitting there with the transcripts in my hand. I thought, what do I do with these? They probably don't want me to have them, but they're so fascinating. I know what I'll do. I'll write a novel, a fictionalized story, and I will use these real reversals in the novel.
Right.
And so that's what I did.
That's what happened. Well, well, well. I'm just puzzled why the FBI would tell him not to analyze the tapes. Gee whiz, that's bizarre. They've got a dubious relationship with reverse speak, the FBI. They really do.
How so? What do you mean by dubious? I'm curious.
I analyzed for the FBI. I worked for the FBI during the Koresh thing. I think you probably knew that.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I submitted a report and a profile, and then the agent rang me up and told me a bizarre story. He said, "Mr. Oates, it would be very embarrassing if it was brought out in Congress that we had access to this information and we didn't use it." And he said, "You know, we can't afford to have reverse speech on the floor of Congress."
Is that time for a station break?
Do you struggle with your weight? Are you frustrated or discouraged? Think you've tried everything to lose weight? Tired of weight loss products that promise results and don't deliver? There are 12 main reasons why you struggle with excess weight and have a difficult time losing it. From overeating to hormonal imbalances and underactive thyroid, even sleep problems, and even dieting itself. The truth is, the 12 causes of weight loss problems are all addressed by one product, Royal Velvet. You, yes you, can join the scores of Rinse listeners who have stopped the madness and no longer struggle with weight issues. Maybe you've heard them talk with Jeff about their amazing transformations on his show. Simply go to RoyalVelvetNow.com, click on the weight loss section, and learn the truth about the real reason obesity is a deadly epidemic that you can avoid. Then click on the Rinse icon in the upper right-hand corner and you will be on your way to a healthier, slimmer, more youthful you. RoyalVelvetNow.com. Your life will never be the same.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio-Superfood. I've taken Bio-Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rinse.com and prepare to learn how to save your life. Many of you know that David John Oates' reverse speech has been scoring some huge breakthrough successes lately. The JFK assassination program with Jim Mars and yours truly is being heralded as the best in David's remarkable 33-year career. His recent outing of RNC Chairman Reince Priebus as a political conspirator was confirmed in the mainstream news only a week after his reversals were released. Of course, the amazing successes of David's one-on-one therapeutic practice go virtually unnoticed, and those are often the greatest successes of all. Despite these stunning achievements, reverse speech needs many more analyst practitioners. If you are a psychologist or a therapist, for example, there is no more powerful tool than using reverse speech in your practice. There's a rare opportunity coming up for you, as David has scheduled a new reverse speech training course beginning Sunday, June the 19th, 2016. There will be 12 classes altogether, all held online for 3 hours each, every 2 weeks. If you've been fascinated by reverse speech and would like to become an analyst practitioner for any reason, now is your chance to enroll and prepare to enter the world of the subconscious truth of all those around you. Call 503-568-7077. That's 503-568-7077. Or email backwards@reversespeech.com.
Okay, we are back for the final segment of this week's David John Oates Reverse Speech Show. My guest is Kathleen Hawkins, and we finished the break talking about the FBI. Yeah, so what I was saying, Kathleen, was, yeah, they rang me, and they said we do not want to be asked questions on the floor of Congress as to why we didn't act upon these reverse speech recommendations. And they told me not to go to the press, or they would crush me. That was their exact words.
Sure. You know, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's the story. I was just shocked.
Well, so what that got me thinking, before I knew that the FBI had told the police to tell the other student to stop doing it, you know, what he said was, my memory of it was, the FBI told me to stop doing this. And so I started, you know, my creative mind, being a creative writer, I started thinking, was it really the FBI, or might it have been the bad guys who found out what this student was doing, and they were posing as the FBI? And then I found out later that, no, apparently the FBI did tell the police to tell him to stop. But that got me to thinking, okay, what would happen if someone knew, had all this information, and the bad guys got wind of it? And so what happens to the insiders is they start getting picked off one by one. And I had an agent at one time. I pitched it to, you know, to two or three literary agents. There was great interest, but nobody signed on the dotted line. And she said, oh, it's not good to scare people. Which meant she was scared by the idea. And I got to thinking, think of all the authors who scare people. You know, Stephen King scares people. Psycho scared people. Silence of the Lambs scared people. And I thought, what is it about the insiders that she would kind of resist? And I think what it is it blurs the lines between fiction and reality.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's an element of reality in it. And it, the whole thing is not scary. I mean, there are funny parts in it. Like there's a rodeo clown, and I loved when his name just popped into my mind. His name is Dorky Dinky Doo, the rodeo clown. And Dorky Dinky Doo is a hero at the rodeo. And, I love to say that name, Dorky Dinky Doo. But as he calls himself, he's not a clown. He's a rodeo protection athlete. And then there's a lively scene in a country western bar, and there's action and excitement, and most of all, a deep look into the unconscious mind. And that's why the novel is called The Insiders, because the characters go deep into the inside.
And so this would differentiate your book from other psychological thrillers, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, people have asked me, they say, well, since this is has teenage characters, is it a young adult novel? What it is, it's they call it a crossover book in the publishing industry. A crossover book is one that appeals to teenagers and adults. You know, like The Hunger Games.
Yeah, right.
There are teenage characters in The Hunger Games. Harry Potter, those are all teenage characters, but adults love, you know, love The Hunger Games and the Harry Potter books. And so that's, The Insiders is similar to that. It appeals to a really wide audience.
Wow. Yeah, well, good on you. So are the books selling well?
Well, they're just starting to. Yeah, they're just starting to. They've only been out, like I said, you know, since the 11th of last month, and I have actually been finishing another book. I've been working on that, trying to get that to print, and that's going to be out in a couple weeks. That's a book called Speed Reading Made Easy.
Oh, okay. All right.
And so I've been preoccupied with that. I haven't been promoting The Insiders quite as much as I would like to. But you want to know about the characters in the book?
Absolutely. Yes, tell me.
Well, after I wrote the book, you know, there are several characters in it, and I realized that each character basically represents people's various thoughts and fears and concerns about having their minds read and their secrets told. So the book is kind of a microcosm of people's reactions to reverse speech. So I'll just give you a couple of examples here. Luke is a senior in high school. He's very popular and good-looking. He discovered the mind-reading machine, became very curious about it, and decided to study it in depth, and it changed his life. Does that sound like anybody you know? So it's like I might have patterned his curiosity after yours somewhat. And then there's Ariana, who came to the U.S. with her family from Iran to escape religious persecution. Now, she's a Baha'i. And if you know anything about Baha'is, you know that they believe in the equality of men and women, education for everybody, and respecting people of all different faiths and races. And those aren't exactly goals to which the Iranian government, you know, aspires. And so the government in Iran deals very, very harshly with Baha'is. And so Ariana's safety, her very life, depended on keeping her thoughts to herself when she lived in Iran. So when she came to America and she met Luke, who had a, quote, mind-reading machine, and he could delve into her unconscious mind, it was very unnerving for her. And so throughout the book, she's trying to deal with that. And there are also a few other characters that are hiding secrets, too, that they don't want known. And then another character is Nika. And she wants to be the moral compass of the group. And she thinks it's wrong to do reversal analysis. And she kind of represents the people who don't know about it. They're not, I mean, they don't know what to think about it. She's very judgmental.
Right.
And so you have the curiosity, Luke, the unnerving, the fear, the concern of Ariana, and then Nika's judgment. And so each one of the characters in the book represents some perspective or reaction to reverse speech that people have.
Right.
It was fun. It was fun. I had my book club read it. And I hosted the book club that month, and whoever hosts has snacks. And so when they came over, I said, well, the insiders wanted to be here today, but they're working on the next case, so they sent snacks for us. I said, Luke sent, you know, meatballs. Ariana sent, you know, the hummus. The bad guy sent pretzels.
Uh-huh.
You know, he had someone pick up pretzels at the dollar store. And one of the men in the book club leaned over and said to the other one, she does know they aren't real, doesn't she? She does know the insiders aren't real, doesn't she? He said it loud enough for me to hear. But I really got a laugh out of that, because the insiders for some reason were very, very real to me. And I've written four novels. The Insiders is the first one that has been published. The others I still need to work on them. But there was something about The Insiders that just would not leave me alone. And I remember it takes place around the town where I live. And there's this one scene where they're being chased down the country roads by these guys, you know, on a pickup truck with shotguns, rifles, and they're shooting at the insiders, and the insiders are trying to escape, and the train is coming. And it's funny, you know, someone in the book club said, you know, every time I hear a train now, I think about the insiders, you know, I think about them out there running for their lives, you know. And so anyway, they're letting me rest for, you know, a month or two or three, and then they might start kind of pestering me again to write a sequel.
Oh, yeah, well, that'd be good. Sequel or TV series, even.
Oh, yeah. You know, I wrote a script. This was interesting. There are a lot of interesting things that happen. I was at a writer's conference, and I won $200 toward tuition for a script writing class. And so I thought, well, this is a sign. So I wrote the script for The Insiders as my homework assignment. And then I gave it to the producer of the documentary, because he was a TV producer, is a TV producer. And I'm not a professional screenwriter, but I said, you know, here's just a draft of something I've done. So he's looking at it. I haven't heard anything back, and I'm thinking, in the best of all worlds, you know, he would maybe find a script writer to option it, a professional script writer, and then, you know, run with it. And in the meantime, I could be working on the sequel.
That would be exciting. Wow.
Yeah, I already have a couple chapters drafted, and once again, I'm going to combine real speech reversals that I hope to find on a group of people that are not going to want their speech reversals revealed. I won't say who they are. I'll just fictionalize the story like I did with The Insiders, and we'll see what happens.
Indeed. You're up and running there, Kathleen.
Well, I need a clone too. There needs to be more of me, you know.
Yeah, I turn to that completely and utterly. Yeah. So, what have you been doing since the early days of reverse speech? You've been writing a novel. What else have you been doing?
Well, as I mentioned, I had a day job. I traveled all over the country teaching speed reading seminars, and I would go on tours. I would teach in 25 cities, and then I would take a much needed rest, and then I'd go on another tour, seminar tour, another 25 cities, and I would do three or four of those a year. So I was extremely busy. And then between the seminars, I would work on my writing. So then after doing that for about 25 years, I also had private clients after a while. The public seminars were really hectic. You know, I'd teach all day and have to make it to the next city. And so it made for a long, long week. And so after doing that for about 25 years, I thought, you know, I'm just going to focus on my writing right now. And so I finished The Insiders. I finished Speed Reading Made Easy. And then I drafted three other books. One is, I don't know if I should tell you it or not. Maybe I'll save that for another another interview, or maybe you can reverse this and find out what it's about.
Maybe I could, if we get taught.
So, but, I'll tell you. Why not? It's called One of the books is called 6 Feet Above.
Okay.
And it's about growing up the daughter of a mortician.
Oh, okay.
So it's my life story, actually, the true story of growing up the daughter of a mortician who was, he was a freelance mortician, because what happened was, rather than keep someone on staff all the time and pay them when they didn't have work, various funeral homes just called him when they got work. So he worked for about 22 different funeral homes, and he worked very hard. And that was, I think, you know, he was afraid of death, because you can tell what scares people by what they use to scare you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And so he would think of ways to scare me, and I think he was just, afraid of death, and it really took a toll on him. So that's one of the books. And then another is Life Lessons from the Mortician's Daughter. And that's not so autobiographical. It's more just the lessons that I learned about life and death as I was growing up. And then the third one, which is written and in need of a final draft, I have to write the final draft, is about magic. It has to do with magic.
Ah.
And I, you know, I... Once again, I don't want to say too much, but it's just, I look at the principles of magic that magicians use, and I expand it to the greater world and see if the world in general uses any of these, quote, magician tricks on us. So I have a lot to keep me busy and out of trouble.
Yeah, you certainly do, and I'm sure you've picked up a few more fans today. There'll be a lot of people wanting to get a hold of the insiders.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so, yeah.
Amazon.com, search Insiders Kathleen Hawkins, folks. Go and get your copy.
Yeah.
The very first reverse speech novel ever written.
Yes, and it might be, I can't imagine anyone else writing one, because it was challenging. Oh, my goodness. You know, I have a sequel that I have started to work on, but I might be the only one who writes books like this, because it's so challenging, you know, incorporating the real thing into fiction.
Yeah, well, of course, reverse speech is so involved as well. You'd have to have a pretty good in-depth knowledge of reverse speech to write a novel like that.
Oh, yes. And that also, there's so much that you can use reverse speech in, that the ideas for novels and a TV series are just virtually endless.
Yeah, they would be. Yeah, there's so much to it.
I know. I have, in the beginning, I had 15 ideas for novels, and I wrote The Insiders, and I thought, well, this is challenging and kind of tough, and so I'm going to say 8. You know, I'm going to have 8, you know, episodes in the TV series, if it ever is a TV series, or I'm going to have 8 novels. And then I thought, oh, this is really hard. And so it was challenging, but I enjoyed it. There's really nothing else I would rather do than write. You know, it's the way I exist in the world. It's how I relate to life and to people. I write about it.
Yeah, well, I've written 2 books this year.
Yeah, tell me about your books. I know I have the one with the blue cover, but have you done any others?
Messages of communication. Yeah, I wrote a book called Unveiling the Truth, The Secrets of Reverse Speech. It's only a quick read. It's 40,000 words, so it's a quick read, but it goes right into the real reason why reverse speech is here, to unravel the truth, to reveal the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some case studies, you know, where I look at the JFK assassination, current political scene, and some successful people, but it's all about the truth and the implications of truth and what truth will bring to society. So that book's actually will be going to the printers in about a week or two. So that's very exciting. And The second book, which I've almost finished, is an autobiography. Now, I actually like your Insiders book. I started this book 20 years ago, and I only just pulled it out. I just felt like when I wrote Unveiling the Truth, I was just in the mood for writing, so I thought, well, let's pull out this book and finish it off. So I've been writing the last 20 years since I finished
it. Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, you know, now that you've had 20 years to think about it, your perspective, you know, is maybe changed, or you go into depth on certain aspects of it. I think, you know, living a long time gives us a great perspective on life, you know, whatever we do, whether it's reverse speech or, for me, writing. And so where can people get your books when they come out?
I'm not sure yet. I've got to get them on Amazon.com, don't I?
Yes, you do. I wish I would love to be able to help you with that. I'm not sure.
I've got to convert the Kindle format and everything. I really don't know how to go about doing that.
Yeah, well, it's a learning curve. It's a learning cliff. You know, with me, it was a learning cliff. But now that you want to do that, there might be, you know, something might manifest.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. Yeah, it'll happen. It'll happen. They're two really good books. I really like them. So.
Oh, I know. I want to read your autobiography. I really want to read that.
Already, I've had two or three people say, "Take me out of it. I don't want to be in it." And then I'm thinking, if I take everyone out of it, I won't have a book anymore.
Oh my goodness! Well, one thing about reverse speech, I think from what I know of you is that you're pretty honest with your feelings, because considering the subject. You know, if someone is going to do reversal analysis on you or me or anybody, it sort of inspires us to be honest and upfront with our feelings.
Yeah, well, I am pretty much upfront, because that's what reverse speech is, you know.
I know, I think so. I definitely agree.
Mm.
And thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Oh, it's okay. My pleasure. All right, so let me see. What other questions do I ask you about? So the questions I ask you about. What do you see the talk about reverse speech? What do you see coming up in the future for reverse speech?
Well, the way that, let's see, how I would answer that would be, how I would relate to it would be like in a sequel, and then I'll turn it back to you. What do you see?
Uh-oh.
You know, you're the visionary.
Yeah, I am, aren't I? Well, you know, look, I actually honestly thought that at this stage of my career I'd have centers all over the world. Well, I obviously don't have that, so I haven't reached my goal of that yet. And trouble is, there's such a hard technology to learn, you know, and I get such a high dropout rate in my classes, you know, and you know, I hope it's accepted in my lifetime. I used to think it would be. Now I'm not so sure.
Well, you know, the progress that I see is you are now firmly established as the discoverer of reverse speech and the developer of the technology. I remember in the early days you were, to me, it seemed like you were real protective of it, you know, like a parent might guard a child because it was so new. And then as the years go along, I see you relaxing more and sharing it with people and teaching it and asking for analysts. And so it's like, you know, you're sending the child into the world, and you are established now. Every time I see reverse speech mentioned anywhere, people credit you with it.
Yeah.
So it might, you know, it might not be exactly where you'd hoped it would be, but, you know, that is firmly established.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, I worked very hard to get to this stage.
Oh, I know. I was a witness. And, you know, a participant in the early days. And
well, you were about one of the first people from America who contacted me. I can still remember getting your letter in the letterbox. Oh, this is exciting.
Yes, yes. Well, I, you know, when you called me and said you were moving, you know, to Dallas, just about 40, 45 miles from where I lived, okay.
Thanks for being on the show. Okay, well,
thank you so much, David. It was a real treat talking with you.
Yeah, no worries. We'll have you back again. Okay. See you later.
Okay, bye,
everyone. See you next week. Bye.
I'd like to invite you to take a look at some of the most important products in the realm of health and hygiene I've ever seen, all from Trioxy. As many of you know, ozone oxygen is highly effective for many different uses in the home or office place, from purifying the air you breathe to the water you drink. In fact, the city of Los Angeles, among others, uses ozone to purify the drinking water for millions. Uses of ozonated water produced by the Trioxy Pure include washing your hands, disinfecting cuts and infections, brushing your teeth, and even washing and sanitizing fruits and vegetables in the kitchen. Meanwhile, the Trioxy Re-Ion ozone negative ion generator will clean your indoor air of pollen, smoke, odors, mold, bacteria, and viruses, and more, and will put extra oxygen into your bloodstream and clean your body just by you being there. I hope you'll drop by and visit GoHealthyNext.com and take a look. The prices are more than affordable, and the results are priceless. That's GoHealthyNext.com.
Known worldwide as the most consistently fascinating, informative, and unique program on radio, the Jeff Rentz program can be yours to listen to anytime, anywhere, whenever you want to hear it. For pennies a day, our subscribers can download any of Jeff's thousands of programs featuring a treasury of newsmakers, researchers, eyewitnesses, and incredible subjects, all in MP3, commercial-free, crystal-clear 56-bit digital sound, and take these often unforgettable programs with them wherever they go. As a subscriber, you can also listen live at airtime, online, anywhere in the world, or browse through our archives of over 6,000 hours of legendary broadcasts. Subscribe now by taking the link at the top of Rentz.com and enrich your mind with the most unique panorama of vital information and the best independent, honest journalism in radio. Look for the Subscribe Now link on Rentz.com and give yourself the knowledge you need for these unprecedented times.